Dear friends, new friends, old friends, relatives from far and near, all loved by God. The Bible verse we're going to meditate on for a few minutes is from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the word of our Lord. On the front of your bulletin tonight, you'll see a picture of Mary and Joseph and the baby, and it looks like they are posing for their Christmas card, doesn't it? Unless I'm mistaken, unless that's normally what women look like right after they give birth, with no nurses and no epidural and no hospital bed. Well, no, of course, right? If we had an honest, a realistic look at what Mary and Joseph looked like on that first Christmas night, they'd be a mess. They'd be a mess. But they look nice for Christmas, and that's good. That's what we do. That's what we like to do. That's what the whole world does, right? That's what we have the song, "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas," right? Toys in every store, everyone smiling and singing, and that's great. But what if we didn't just consider what the world looks like on Christmas, but everything about the world? What if we didn't just look at the toys in the store window, but also the corporations and the commercialism and the greed behind those toys? What if we considered everything about the world, including that as we eat our Christmas dinner this year, 750 million people will be hungry? What if we consider that right here in Outagamie County, 87% of mental illnesses go untreated? What if we don't just think about the beautiful things in the world, but everything in the world, including the civil wars and the racism and the violence? How do you feel? What can we do? But what if we didn't just consider it about the world, but what if we considered everything about you? And not just the way you look on Christmas. I mean, I'm sure your Christmas cards were beautiful because you look great tonight, right? Everybody's dressed up and come out to church, and that's good, that's good. But what if we didn't just consider the Christmas Eve version of you or the social media version of you, but everything about you, including the things you do when no one's looking, and including the things you do that make you want to erase your web browser history, and including the shame you feel when you look into the eyes of that friend or family member, including the reason why you avoid driving through that part of town these days. What about those moments when you look in the mirror and you wonder if you have become something you promised you would never be? What if we don't just consider the nice parts, but everything about you, including your sadness, your loneliness, and all the pain? Then how do you feel about you? And what do you do? This world and you and me are a mess. What's the solution to our mess? Is it that we just need some more education? You need to learn a few things and then you'll be all right, and the world needs to just learn a little more? Or is it that we got to try harder? That if we just really put our mind to it, we can do enough good to overcome the bad in this world? Or is it that we should just ignore it? That we should just look on the sunny side and be ignorant of reality? Human beings have been trying those solutions for centuries. How's it going? You know, this concept of considering everything about the world and not just the nice part, it's not hypothetical. In fact, I have recently heard a legend about someone who considers everything. Someone who sees you when you're sleeping. and knows when you're awake, and who knows not just the good, but who knows when you've been bad or good. Why does this man need all this information? Why is it that Santa Claus needs to know everything about us and consider everything? It's so that he can judge us, right? So that he can divide people up. Some people go on the nice list, some people go on the naughty list. And good people get prizes, and bad people get punishments. You know, what's the solution to that in the song? You better watch out. And this is what we tell our children to bring them joy on Christmas. And it works, and it does bring joy to so many people, because for many people, that's as good as it gets, that you could get what's fair. You know, the testimony of the scriptures from start to finish is that God also sees everything, and he considers not just the pretty parts of your life, but he knows everything. And so many people come to the conclusion that God must be just like Santa Claus, and his job is to judge us and to make a list of all the good people and all the bad people, a nice list and a naughty list, and the good people get prizes and the bad people get punishment. That's what people believe about God. But what does the Bible say? The Bible's teaching about this is the most ridiculous quote you will ever hear. And the Bible's teaching about this is the most beautiful quote you will ever hear. That God, who sees everything about you and doesn't sugarcoat any of it, he knows everything. How does he feel? From the mouth of Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There it is. And there's no explanation that comes with it. Can you believe it? It just says he loves you. That the God who knows all saw you and all the pain that you felt and all the pain that you've caused and all the regrets that you're going to take to your grave because you're too ashamed to tell anyone, and all of the things you felt as you considered your present situation, God knows it all, and he loves you. Which means that tonight, if you are feeling like no one else in the world cares about you, or if tonight, if you don't feel like you're worthy of being loved, or tonight, if you don't even really like yourself these days, you have to wrestle with this quote from Jesus. God loves you. He said it. But talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. I could sit up here and tell you all day, I love you, I love you, I love you, but that doesn't make it so. And so what we want in this world is for people to show that they mean what they say, that it's not just empty words, that they're authentic and genuine about what they're saying. We want to know that you mean what you say. And so politicians say all the time that they love their people. What will they give you to show their love? Ask them for some of their campaign money. See how much you get. Celebrities will often say that they love all people. Ask them to borrow the Mercedes and see if you get past the front gate. There's a popular quote from a very famous American philosopher about the value of love and proving the genuine value of love. The philosopher is Michael Scott from the Office, and I'll let him explain his philosophy.
Presents are the best way to show someone how much you care. It is like this tangible thing that you can point to and say, "Hey, man, I love you this many dollars worth."
I love you this many dollars worth. Is that what you're doing today? Of course, that's a joke, right? That's just a joke on the show. But the reason you giggle along is because there's an element of truth to it. This is why we have a price limit on our gift exchanges, right? So that one person doesn't get a huge gift and feel, oh, everybody loves me, and another person gets a little gift and they think, well, I got no love at all. Right, and so if you're having trouble, imagine going home and opening your presents and your family is saying, I love you, I'm so glad you're here, it's great to get us all together, but every present you open, inside is just a lump of coal. How much love would you be feeling? Don't ask me how I know what that feels like. But the point is this, that talk is cheap, and we want to know that people mean what they say. What can you give me to show that you mean it? John 3:16 says that God loved the world. Well, so what? Talk is cheap. God loved the world so that he gave. Gave what? God loved the world so that he gave his one and only son. Now, if we're going to use the Michael Scott method for calculating the amount of love by looking at how expensive the gift was, how much does God love you? He could have given you anything in the world. He made it all, right? He made everything. He could have given you anything in this world. But instead, he chose to give you something out of this world. By definition, the one who creates the universe is more valuable than anything in the universe that he made. And God on Christmas chose to give you this gift to prove his love. The Son of God who made the world. The most valuable thing possible, because God loves you as much as possible. Imagine what that must have felt like for God to give that up. Imagine the price God paid for that gift. Would you? Would you give up a child? Put yourself in God's shoes. You're sitting in the hospital room, your child is lying in bed recovering from an illness, and the doctor... So, the girl next door is dying of a heart condition, and we can save her, but only if you donate your child's heart, which of course will mean that your child will die. Would you do it? Would you do it for a friend? Would you do it for an enemy? Would you do it for somebody with as much shame and guilt and mess as you? Because God did. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's the most valuable gift you could ever receive. But not just the most valuable, also the most practical. Have you ever asked for a practical gift for Christmas? Sometimes stuff like socks or a phone or a drill or something. And often we add those things to the list, not because they're so valuable, but because we just need them. And there's a good reason we don't put our deepest needs on our Christmas list. Can you imagine what that would look like? Imagine you wrote out your Christmas list this year and you said, this year for Christmas, I'd like to feel whole again. This year for Christmas, I'd like to not lay awake at night reevaluating my mistakes. This year for Christmas, I'd like to get over my feelings of not being good enough. Who would you give that list to? You could give it to the Lord your God. He gave his one and only Son to meet your deepest needs. That baby born to Mary, he came to take from you all the guilt, all the shame, all the sin that ruins your good days, all the things that keep you up at night. He came to take them. And so Jesus, he grew up 33 years, perfect life, no sin of his own, nothing to feel guilty about. And yet, at the end of his journey, where do we find him? Walking towards a hill with a cross on his back, crushed, overwhelmed, crying out to God for mercy. Why? Because on that day, everything you hate about you was transferred to Jesus. Can you picture your baggage on his back? Now, multiply that load times 7 billion, and that's the weight of the world right now. All on Jesus. Now multiply that times all the ages that have come before us and all the ages that are yet to come. That's the mess of this world. All resting on Jesus. And he took that mountain of sin to Calvary with the guiltiest conscience that there's ever been. And on that cross, Jesus received justice. God gave him what we have earned. God poured out his anger on Jesus. And he did it so that there would be no anger left for you. Jesus has done everything for our salvation, and now we get what he earned, a perfectly clean record and a totally bright future. That's forgiveness of sins. That's the gift God gives you in Jesus at Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Can you believe it? The Bible says you can. In fact, that's what we do here at church and at school at Mount Olive. We get together weekly and daily to tell each other over and over this same thing, that God loves you. That God loves you. That trust in Jesus, it builds more and more as you learn more and more about Jesus. And before I say amen, I just gotta tell you about the two ways that trust in Jesus will transform your life going forward. The one is that it can transform your eternity. It says that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but will have eternal life. Eternal life. Let's just try to understand that by a comparison. So a while back, Publishers Clearing House offered me $14,000 a week for the rest of my life. The only catch was I had a 1 in 175 million chance of winning. That would be a pretty sweet prize, though. It'd be over $50 million if I lived to be 100. And yet all that money would be like a drop of spit in the ocean compared to eternal life with God. And eternal life is not a long shot. It's a sure thing. It has already been won for me by Jesus. It's in my bank account in heaven. And it's not just for me, but for you and for all who believe. What could be better than eternal life in heaven with God? Well, this could. Eternal life in heaven plus a new perspective on your life here on earth. You see, Jesus and faith in Jesus can transform your eternity, but it can also transform your January. Because in January 2020, the world is still going to be a mess. There's still going to be war and pain and hunger. But faith in Jesus means that you know that God sees it. And rather than just sitting back and putting us on a nice list and a naughty list and coming to judge us, God did something about our pain and our problem. God entered our world. He sent his Son to redeem this mess. In January, you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see a mess. When you don't love what you see in the mirror, remember, God does. In fact, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When you consider all that, it's going to be a Merry Christmas. Amen. Please stand.